In Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech tells us the secret of a powerful, beautiful, lasting life. That's what we learned yesterday. He says the difference is if a person is like a wall or he's like a door. We said that a wall means that a person has their values. First, you have to have values. That's for a different discussion. But whatever values you have, hopefully they're good ones. The great people are the ones who stick to their values like a wall. A wall, you can't move it. There's no hole in that wall. You can't go through. A door is always swinging. The recipe for a life of failure is to be a swinging door. Swinging door with your values mean that you don't really have your own strength. You're constantly swinging depending on the situation, on the people that you're with, on the environment, on people's opinions, on all different types of situations that can make you change. When a person sticks to their values, they're building a powerful foundation for success in every area of life. When it comes to chinuch, when it comes to raising a child, we hear often in today's world, I assume it was this way always, but I think today is probably exaggerated. And one of the problems we have with our children is they just don't listen. And I'm not talking about little children, I'm talking about older ones, like the 30-year-olds. They don't listen. Just don't listen. It almost feels as if whatever you say, they want to do the opposite. In fact, some people, that's how they get them to listen. They tell them the opposite of what they want. It's very frustrating when you have a person that you care about and you know that they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. Or you know they should be doing something that they're not doing. But they don't listen. They don't pay attention. In fact, in next week's parasha, we're going to be talking about the Ben Sorer Umore, the wayward child, which the Torah says, the wayward child, you got to put him to death. It's not good for him to grow up and live a life of destruction. It's not good for him. It's not good for his family. The best thing to do is lay him to rest. What is this wayward child doing that's so bad that you tell him it's over? The young boy, give him a chance. Don't people change? Don't people grow? Don't people become? What are you giving up on people at a young age? It's unusual that the Torah, which is always about returning and teshuvah and improvement, and no despair, that we would give up on a young boy at such a young age, basically saying that there is zero hope. If the Torah says to get rid of him, it means there is zero hope. What did he do that's so bad that makes him hopeless? The Torah says very clearly, ki hiyeh le'ish, If a man has a ben, a son, sorer umore, who is wayward. What way is he off this kid? What did he do? Did he light a building on fire? Did he punch somebody in the face? Did he kill someone? What did he do? What's so bad? What do you have to do as a young person that the Creator says, better for you to move on? This world is not for you. What do you have to do? In our dictionary, I think we would find some major things. You kill someone. It's happened where a young man killed somebody. I know somebody that actually killed someone from a long time ago when he was 13 years old. It stays with him every day for the rest of his life, and whoever knows him, it's the image that you see every day, 50 years later. So a person can do a destructive act that's really shaking his whole essence and stays with him. What does the guy have to do? Says the Torah in the most shocking manner. Enenu shomea. He doesn't listen. He's a kid who doesn't listen. Ve'yiseru oto, and they tried to give him musar. Ve'lo yishma. Lo yishma means, and he didn't listen, but it also means, and he won't listen. Lo yishma, he's not listening. He has this attitude. When it comes to listening, he doesn't listen. Obviously, there's a lot more detail, but bottom line, that's how the Torah describes him. A person who doesn't listen, says the Torah, for him, there's no hope. So it's very frustrating when you're raising a child, when you care about somebody and you have something good for them, but they don't listen. I think many parents today feel the pain of this reality. And while every single person, including children, have free choice, and therefore, no matter what we do, it's their choice to listen or not. That's a reality. You could be the best father, the best mother. You can be the best home. You can have all the best advice. Ultimately, it's their free choice. That is true. But there is no denying that so much of their free choice is affected by their own parents. And very often, the person who's frustrated most about their child is actually the one to blame. So whenever you hear someone say, oh, I can't deal with it, they don't listen. They don't listen. Most of the time, you can assume it's your fault. Imagine getting frustrated with somebody, but the person you have to blame is yourself. And therefore, it's worthwhile to spend a few minutes to understand how this is so. Why, when my son or daughter, young or old, why would they not listen to me? Why is it my fault? Again, it's not 100%. There are always exceptions. But it's a very good place to start looking, because that's usually the problem. Why is it my fault? when someone else doesn't listen to my good advice? How in the world could that be blamed on me? I'm the one trying to help them. You're turning it on me and saying it's my fault. Why? So I shouldn't talk to them. I shouldn't advise them. And here again come the words of Shlomo HaMelech and apply it here and it's magic. We spoke about values being a wall. But in the world of helping others, especially young people, a successful father and mother have to be a wall in their upbringing of their children, and they have to be careful not to be a door. In what way do I have to be a wall to my children? What does that mean even? It means that when you make a decision in your home, when you say you can't have that, 2-year-old says, I want lollipop. Not now. If you make decisions and you don't stick with them, then you're a door. The Torah in this week's parasha opens up Shofetim veShoterim. Shofetim are judges. Shoterim are policemen. Titen lecha, you should put for yourself. Bechol she'arecha, in all of your gates, in all of your cities, simply just means that every city should have judges and should have people that are able to carry out the wishes of the judges. We call them policemen. But on a level of a hint, or in more depth, some explain beautifully that this is also referring to the person. She'arecha, your gates are referring to the 5 gates where you connect to the world. Every human connects to the world in 5 ways. We call them the 5 senses. Person's ears, a person's eyes, person's mouth, smell, touch, your hands. Torah says, Titen lecha. Make sure before you behave in life, first, you're shofet. You have to be a judge first to know how to use your mouth. You have to judge what's something you should eat and what's something you shouldn't eat. Whether it's kashrut issues or whether it's health issues. You have to be a shofet. You have to be a judge. You can't be a policeman before you have a judge. You have to know first what's right and wrong. Bechol she'arecha. Make sure before you put something in your mouth, make sure you judge it first. But it's not enough to be a judge. You have to be your own policeman. Which means you have to be a wall. What comes out of your mouth, you have to be a judge. And then you have to be a shoter. And the same with your ears. You have to be a judge what you should listen to, which people to listen to, whose advice to follow, which music should be in your ears. Which friends you should be around. You gotta be a judge. And then you gotta be a shoter. Because knowing what's good isn't enough. You have to be a wall. And the same with the other areas. Your eyes. The eyes are so powerful and they're so destructive. Using your eyes to see the wrong things. Using your eyes to see what other people have instead of what you have. The eyes are very powerful. They're not just cameras. Be a shofet. You got to be a good judge. And then you got to be a shoter. When it comes to raising a child, you have to be their judge and their shoter. Before you say no, think twice. Before you tell the kid you can't have the candy, think once and twice to make sure you're making a good decision. But once you say no, you have to be a wall. One of the mistakes that we make is that when they're little, we think it's no big deal. They're cute, they don't really learn much. What's the difference if I told them yes and I told them no, or vice versa? But you should know that children in the first few years of their life, that is when they learn the most about their reality. Even though right now it's a piece of candy, but more than the candy, it's a principle of life. When you say no and then you're a swinging door and you say yes, you've taught them that your words are not that important. You've taught them that when you speak, it's not really with thought and confidence. You taught them not to trust you. Because how trustworthy could you be? Just a minute ago, you said no. He starts crying, you say yes. So how important was the no? That means you say no in random situations. For example, if I was gonna eat poison and you said no, if I cried, would you say yes? Of course not. So how come you said no before? Must be you say no without thinking. Must be you say no when it's even a yes. Because you're not a shofet. You don't judge before you talk. So basically you've trained them not to listen to you. When they kick and scream on the floor, they're 1 year old. You think it's not a big deal. This is where it's at right there. That one-year-old kicking for something you told him no is everything about his future. He looks like a little kid and nothing matters. Everything matters. Children are constantly experimenting. Children know when they go somewhere and it hurts, they'll never go again. Through experience, they understand what's a wall and what's a door. And they're constantly pushing the envelope to see where the line is. That's how they learn. They learn through experiment. When they fall in a certain place, they don't go there anymore. When they do something and it hurt them, they don't do it anymore. Children grow into adults through experimenting and constantly realizing where is the line. It's one of the mistakes is when we think they're too little, where in reality, it's the most critical age is when they're little. When you think they're too little, you should know they'll be too little for a very long time. Because parents look at their children like little kids, even when they're 25. The one-year-old that's too little will still be too little for many years to come. In your eyes is your little kid. And besides, you missed a great opportunity. And by the way, while they will not tell you this, they may not even know how to tell you this, a children love walls. They love when people give them clear boundaries. When they don't have boundaries, they're lost. They certainly can't create their own boundaries. When kids live within boundaries, they love it. While they may test you and fight you, they're just trying to see if this is real or not. That's all. They want to see if you're reliable or not. How else would they know if what you say is reliable, dependable? How will they know? This is the hamat of a father and mother that builds the most beautiful child as much as he can. You're somewhere out with your children in the park. You're visiting by a friend. You're at a wedding. You had a bar mitzvah. And sometimes, in those situations, it's uncomfortable when you tell them no, and they start to scream and yell and kick, and you're embarrassed in front of all the people. Everyone's looking at you and saying, what a father this is, what a mother this is. Look at their children, as if their kids don't do the same thing. And then all of a sudden you feel lahats. You're feeling pressure. Everyone's watching you. And because of the pressure, so you give in. Sometimes the pressure comes from the outside. Sometimes you just dichip with them. You just have a headache from them already. You told them no. They're screaming and yelling and kicking. You can't hear it anymore. Here. Take it. Don't ask anymore. Most times when we change, it's because we get frustrated. Or we're embarrassed. And we don't think it's such a big deal. You have to know when you make a change from no to yes, it is the biggest deal. In 10, 20 years, you're going to say, I don't understand why my kids don't listen to me. This generation. You ever hear the generational problem? This new generation. Kids don't listen. Let me tell you the right way to say it. It's a new generation. When parents are doors, that's a new generation. Parents are so busy, and they're so weak, and they so lack the confidence in their decisions that they create children that don't listen when they're 20 and 30 and 40. Again, it's not a rule. There are always exceptions. But it's definitely a very good place to start. The generational problem is the parents, not the kids. You're too scared to tell your children they can't have something. So you're not qualified. You're not qualified in their mind, not in my mind. Your children laugh at you. If they understood enough, they would be laughing at you. You're not a qualified parent. You talk stum. Either you're not so smart, either you're not intelligent, either you have no wisdom because you talk stum, or you're weakling. Neither one makes for a great recipe. You gotta be a shofet and you gotta be a shoter. You have to know what you're saying and you have to know how to be strong when you say. One without the other makes you a mockery. And if your children think you're a mockery, who's gonna raise them? Who will be reliable for them? Obviously, you gotta be smart. If you're at a wedding and they want something and you're scared they're gonna make this commotion, so don't say no, give it to them. Don't get into a war that you cannot win. It's one of the important principles of life, not only with children. You never go to war unless you know you're gonna win. Because war has a lot of
consequences,
dangers. You only have to go to war when you have to. And you only go to war when you know that you are going to win. Don't go to war just like that.
Easy.
So if you can't go to war with him, so just say, okay, you can have it. But God forbid you should say something and then turn because they're pushing you. You would never feel it because they're so little. You would never realize the tremendous consequences that are coming along the road of their life. They will love you so much more when you become their strength because they feel comfortable, they feel secure when there are people like you who care about them that make clear walls. When a person feels off balance, they look for a wall to lean on and they feel secure. If they would lean on something and they would realize it's a door that swings, it's not very, very secure. Scary. Who will children lean on more than their parents? But if the parent is a door, he is scary to them. Not reliable. Whatever he says, he doesn't even think, this man. This lady, she just talks. So they grow up insecure. The father and mother will try to make them feel good, try to give them whatever they want so that they could be happy and that they could love their parents are the opposite. You make them insecure and you make them feel that you don't know what you're doing and therefore you can't provide for them the right advice to successful living. You ever see a kid that wants to go outside? It's by the door. He wants to go. He's home for 2 hours already. Wants to go out. People he sees, they're coming in, they're leaving, coming, going. And he's stuck in his place. Wants to go already. He goes to the door, screaming, yelling, kicking. Open the door already. Have you ever seen a kid in a room is all walls and he's screaming by the wall, he wants to go out? Did it ever happen that a kid by a wall is screaming to open the wall? Never. Why? How come? How come he didn't yell by the wall? Get me out of here! Because he knows a wall you can't leave. You know what happens to him when he sees a wall? He gets relaxed. Doesn't kick, doesn't scream and cry. Tip, the wall. A wall is a wall. He accepts it. But when it's a door, safek, he has a doubt, maybe. Maybe you should open it. So actually, when you become a door in your children's life, you cause them to be upset and to cry much more. You think you are making them quiet when you give them, but you're actually making them more upset and give them more reason to cry, because now you've become a door for them. And by a door, there's reason to cry and there's reason to scream. But if you're a wall, there's no one to scream to. There's nothing to cry for. It's amazing. Only Hashem could do this, to create a Yetzer Hara, which everything that's real is given in the opposite way. I want them to feel good. I want them to feel like I'm there for them. I want them to feel happy. So therefore, when they cry, I give them. The exact opposite. Everything hafuch. These are the special words of advice of Shlomo HaMelech. To be a great father, a great mother. Wow. You have to be a wall. You have to decide when the wall goes up. That's your choice. You got to be a shofet, be smart. You can't always be a wall. You got to know when to give. But once you decide, shoter, never go back on your word. It's hard to hear this. Because probably we do this all the time. Midrash says that anyone who gives boundaries to his children, says the Midrash something interesting, they will love him. Interesting. And it brings a pasuk, famous pasuk, but it's a little bit of a twist on the normal way we explain it. It says, ve'ohavo. Simply, you read it. And if you love your children, you give them boundaries. Shiharom musar. Ve'ohavo, you love your children, give them boundaries. But the Midrash says, no, the word ohavo is not going in the father's love. Ohavo, meaning you want your children to love you. You want them to appreciate you. You want them to revere you. Shiharom musar, give them boundaries. Kids love boundaries, even if they don't express it. They feel secure, they feel good, they feel they're in good hands. They become confident. Children, by nature, trust their parents until they make themselves not trustworthy. When a child sees a stranger in the street coming close to them, they get scared. They already know to get scared. The only thing that can get them to calm is if they see their father or mother that looks at the person coming and they don't look scared. They look at their parents to see if that's safe. And when they see their parents are calm, then they're calm. By nature, a child trusts his parents. But when parents disappoint their children by being not trustworthy, because they're doorways with doors swinging, the children have nobody left. They're stuck. They only trust what they trust. But when the person they trust is no longer trustworthy, who's left? And now they start living in a world where there's nobody there to trust. And they just keep flying from one thing to another. They're in love with this person, they're gonna follow that person, they're gonna do what that person does, they're gonna vacation like him, they're gonna buy a watch like that, they're gonna do this. They're lost. They're lost because they weren't given boundaries that are trustworthy. Children trust their parents, nobody else. Who their parents trust, they will trust too. When they become not trustworthy, it is the worst destruction of this kid's life. There are certain things that a person has to be careful from that makes them like a door without realizing. I gave you so far simple examples. You said no, and now you change your mind because they're screaming, because they're crying. That's an easy one. It's an easy example. But there are other things that we do that make us look like a door, and maybe not as obvious. One of those things is when we raise our voice. In general, when a person raises their voice and starts yelling, it means they're weak. Once in a while, you could raise the tone because you want to show it's serious. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about yelling and screaming. You've just showed them live without any doubt that you're a weak person who doesn't really think that people listen to them. Because if people listen to you, why are you screaming? What are you yelling for? You ever yell at your secretary? Send the email! What are you yelling for? You don't yell when you know people are going to listen. When do you yell? When you think they're not going to listen. So basically, whenever you yell, the message is, I know that people don't listen to me. What a trustworthy source that becomes for your children. That's not a wall. You're declaring clearly to the person listening that you are a door. That you think of yourself as a door. Because you already know that even when you talk, they don't listen. And you have to yell so you could scare them into doing what they don't want to listen to. But you have no choice because I'm yelling at you, I'm scaring you, and I'm going to get you to do it. If I have to scare you to do something, so basically I'm not reliable. Because you're not doing it because you're relying on me. You do it because you're scared of me. That's an example that Unfortunately, all of us have made mistakes. But that should not deter us from learning about our mistakes. The foolish person comes to these classes and says, oh, forget about it. I made so many mistakes. I don't know why I'm going to these classes. As if we're supposed to go to classes only to hear where we're successful. I'm sure everyone listening to this is going to say, where was this 30 years ago? I made 1,000 mistakes. But A, it's never too late to learn the truth. B, it's never too late to change. And C, it's never too late to help others who you care for. Screaming is not a good formula. Besides that, you look like a Hasid case. You ever remember in classroom, in school, when the teacher lost it? Yelling and screaming? There's no bigger pleasure for the students as they sit there and watch the teacher lose their mind. Mission accomplished. Screaming isn't equal to strength like the Yetzer Hara thinks for us. We think that when we scream, so we're being strong. It's exactly opposite. It's amazing. When you scream means you're weak. Have to threaten people so that they can listen to you. Another example of being a door is when we give threats. If you don't do what I say, you're never leaving this house. Now, there's something very wrong with that whole statement. Number one, obviously, most of the threats are never carried through, especially ones like the one I mentioned. But even worse than that, the words that start, if you don't listen, so there's an option. If you don't listen. So it's an option not to listen. The question is if I want to listen or not. I hear that. That's called a door. What do you mean if you don't listen? What does that mean? How could you not listen? Any if you don't automatically makes you unreliable. You're telling them as such. Of course you mean well. Of course you have all the right intentions. But these are very powerful messages that are felt by young people in the most powerful way. Innocent, they're not something that we even realize sometimes, but very, very far-reaching. It's very important if you want to be a wall to your children, that you don't go and stoop down to their level. What do I mean by that? Sometimes, when they don't listen to you, so you give them the silent treatment.
Don't talk to me.
Not your friend. That's what kids do. When kids don't get something from their friend, they say, not your friend anymore.
Declaration, just now we decide. Not your friend.
Sometimes you see parents, this and they. I'm not going to be your friend anymore if you do this. Or talk to me. You know how childish you look to the kid? Now, basically, you took yourself and you became enrolled in kindergarten. As you talk his language. He's not your friend, he's not his friend, don't talk to him anymore. That's what he does. That's what kids do. Kids have these wars with each other. When a father and mother go down to the level of a child, they lose all credibility. You don't lose control. You don't lose your mother, father chair to maintain your respect. You don't talk their language. You're higher. You deal with their language, but you don't talk their language. One of the most powerful things a father and mother can do is set boundaries in a very, very quiet way. Like when they say, I really want this. Why can't I have it? And you say, I know you want it, but mommy said no. Actually, the lower you go in your tone, the lower you go in your tone, the more confident you sound. Not just staying equal. If you go lower than the normal tone, it shows you're very confident. Exact opposite of the Yetzirah. Sometimes you will find ourselves trying to convince our children. You can't go there. Mom, but I want to go. But you can't. And then you try to convince him why. Let me explain to you why. Let me convince you. Convincing a child about something you already told them no to is automatically making you unreliable. What you've just basically told him is that you and him are an equal intellectual level. When he understands what you have to say, then you make sense. When he doesn't understand what you have to say, then you don't make sense. Because you're equal. So when I tell you no, I have to explain to you. Meaning, I'm not any higher than you. We both have to come to an understanding here. It's taking your authority and you're much higher than him. Because you're smarter than him. One day he'll be like you too, but right now you're ahead of him. Going down to his level to try to convince him, there's time in life when you explain to your children why we do and why we don't do. It's a very healthy thing to do, actually. But it can never be in the time of command. Because when you explain the time of command, basically you're saying that you only have to listen when you understand. The proof is, I'm explaining to you so you can do it. That means you're not reliable. Reliable means even when I don't understand, I trust you. You can't explain b'sha'at ma'aseh, the time of the command. No explanation there. That's another important principle. Answering questions is very important for a father and mother to do for their children. The whole Haggadah is based on children asking. So healthy when a child asks their parents. Sometimes you have places where children don't ask. Very unhealthy. Children asking, Dad, what is that? What do we just see? Why do we do that? How come we don't go here? How come we don't have that? It's very healthy. That means you have a kesher, you have a connection. A child asking a father questions is one of the principles that make Judaism a reality. When we become a free nation under Leil Pesach, that's how we structure it. The whole Haggadah is based on children asking questions. But at the same time, be careful of the question that's not a question. What's the question that's not a question? How am I supposed to know what that is? So actually, the Haggadah of Pesach gives us a very, very powerful message regarding questions that children ask. If you notice, there are four types of questions that are brought on the Haggadah table. We have the question of the wise person who basically says, what are you guys doing here? What are all these laws? So the Haggadah says, answer and tell them the laws. You have the more simple question of what is this? Doesn't even know how to say what the this is. What is this? The Amartai love. Tell him. We left Mitzrayim. We have what to do here. Of course, we have the one who doesn't know how to ask. So we have to figure out how to teach him too. When it comes to the Rasha, it's a whole different story. Here, the Rasha in the Haggadah also asks the question. He says, Maha avodah hazod lachem. What is this service? What's all this work that you guys are doing? He's asking a question. Wants to know, what is this? What's this matzah here? What marol? What are you saying? Good question. Here in the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah says, when he says, Maha avodah hazot lachem, he says to him, he says, knock out his teeth. Meaning, don't answer him. Meaning, shut his mouth, that's what it means. What happened to answering questions? When the Chacham asked, you answered him. When the simpleton asked, you answered him. The guy who didn't ask, he also answered him. Why when the Rasha asked, you don't answer him? Oh, you gave up on him? Is that what it means? But the answer is a very beautiful answer. If you notice the questions that are asked by the other children, the Torah says, Ki yish'alecha bencha. When your son will ask you. When your son asks you, answer. Abay the Rasha, the Torah describes this kid in the following, listen to these words. Vehaya, ki yomru alechem benechem. When your sons will say to you, Maha avodah zot lachem. What are we doing here? Why does it say when they say to you? It should say when they ask you. What do you mean when they say to you? They're not saying to you, they're asking. Be very careful when questions are not real questions. They're just statements to excuse them from doing what they don't want to do. For example, you'd be making a big mistake when you tell your son or daughter to do something and say, Dad, why is it so important? That's not a question. They don't really want to know why it's important. They don't want to do it. Well, why can't he get me this toy? I don't understand. That's not a question. That's a complaint. You start answering that question, you're in going down the wrong road. You're answering an excuse with an answer. They're not asking you anything. They're just trying to drag you into the mud and you'll never win. How come I can't get that toy? Because you have enough toys. Not around that one. Yeah, but it's too much money. Your mom, mommy, you got a diamond necklace yesterday. There's never a real answer to these questions. But the foolish father and mother thinks, oh, I have to answer my kids' questions. When they ask me, I have to answer. The Haggadah says. The Haggadah says when they ask you, you answer. Or when they tell you, you don't answer. You say, because I said. Why can't I have the toy? Because I said. Not in an angry way. No, because I said, no pressure. Why? Because I said, because I love you. Atkan, you want to explain to them tomorrow why? If you think it's appropriate, no problem. You can do that. But don't get into the mud with the testing you to see where your boundaries are. Shofetim veshoterim. You have to be a good judge and you have to be a good policeman. Oma, the father and mother who are a wall give tremendous strength for their children forever. They give them security. They give them the ability to follow and they make them happy because they don't need to kick and scream anymore because there's a wall there.